Morning, brothers and sisters. It's the second week in our new year. It's a good assembly of brothers and sisters and a good assembly of those who've come to worship, to listen to the Word of God, to open His book. If you're someone who has resolved this year to be more regular in assembling with this group of Christians, I'll commend you. You've made it to week two. Your resolution lasted longer than my resolution to cut down my sugar intake. So, well done. It's our hope that in this year together, as we open God's book, as we open His Word, and look to our Jesus, that we would all be built up and edified in the fact that He is the truth, which is what He declared of Himself in John chapter 14, verse 6. As a sort of introduction to what we're doing this year, I wanted to start just by saying how blessed we are at Annandale to have shepherds. Amen. To have shepherds who give thought to what we ought to be studying, what we ought to be reading. And so Brad and I are the deacons whose role it is to kind of put together our Bible class teaching program, but it's the elders that set the agenda for what we're studying, and we're blessed to have them in that role in a number of ways. And I thought about in Acts chapter 20, the statement that Paul, the Apostle Paul, makes in his farewell to the Ephesian elders, right? And he's talking about the work that he did amongst those people, and he says that I've not hesitated to declare to you the whole will of God, the whole counsel of God. And then he has a statement to those elders. He reminds them to keep watch over themselves and over all the flock of God, over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. And I think we're blessed to have shepherds who take this seriously. Number one, who take seriously the idea of proclaiming the whole will of God, the whole counsel of God, that we study all of God's Word. And so our shepherds, as they're putting together these reading schedules over the course of 3 or 4 years, want to make certain that we're reading all of the Bible. Because they believe, as Paul wrote to Timothy, that all Scripture is breathed out by God, inspired by God, that it's from the Holy Spirit, and is therefore profitable for teaching and reproof, correction, for training in righteousness. And they have a conviction about that we ought to be studying all of God's Word. And they also have a conviction that we ought to be emphasizing the teaching that we need the most. And that's their role as our shepherds, as they are keeping watch over the flock here. Hebrews 13, verse 17 tells us to obey our shepherds, to obey our leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give account. And I know that they take that responsibility seriously. They think about what are our struggles, what are our needs, what are the teachings that might lead us astray, what are the weaknesses that we're facing as a congregation, and they help us put together readings that are not randomly selected. There's a purpose for what we're doing. They're not looking at, well, what did this other church over here do? What did this other church over there do that was successful, that people liked? They're thinking about you. They're thinking about me. They're thinking about the church that they shepherd in this place. What do we need to hear the most? What are the lessons that we really need to focus on in this year? As Jason always says, for such a time as this. What is going on in our lives in 2023 in the District of Columbia and the surrounding areas and in our lives of you, as each of you as members? What is it that we need to hear? And finally, we're blessed that no matter what we're studying, whether we're in the Old Testament, whether we're in Genesis or Leviticus or Judges, or we're studying about the kingdom of Israel or the captivity or the return, that in all of our studies, we're focused upon Jesus. We're focused upon the way that God's Word prepared for the anointed, prepared for Jesus, the Messiah. And so, as we've already read this year in John chapter 1, verse 45, when Philip found Nathanael, what did he say? He said, "I found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." He understood that there was a purpose for the law. There was a purpose for the prophets, for all of the Old Testament writings, and that they were looking for something, for someone, for an anointed, for a Messiah, for this Jesus of Nazareth. And so we understand that as we're reading the old law, as we were in 2022 and 2021, that it was to be our tutor, that it was to be our schoolmaster, intended to bring us to Christ, as Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 says. And so, yes, we've finished those 2 years of study in the Old Testament, and we're at this point now, having concluded those years of study, that we can come directly to the feet of the anointed, come directly before Jesus, before the Messiah, and to consider his statement of who he is. Consider everything we know about him, about what he said of himself, about what he declared of himself, of what he showed about himself, manifested about himself. And specifically in this year, we're thinking about Jesus' statement, "I am the truth." There's a reason why our shepherds want us to think about that. And it's because truth is becoming an elusive concept in our society. Truth is becoming an elusive concept in our schools, in our lives, even among those who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ. That truth is becoming a squishy concept. And so we really want to focus this idea of Jesus as the source of truth, as Jesus being truth. And it's because it's a challenge in our age. And so we're doing that this year, considering Jesus' statement in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the truth." And what do we mean when we say that? What did Jesus mean when he said, "I am the truth"? What is truth? What does that even mean? And so I wanted to think about that very, very briefly this morning. Something when we say is true, or that we say is truth. What does it mean when we say that? I think that the most important piece is that it corresponds to a reality that is outside your own self, that it's outside your own mind, and therefore it's objective, right? So it's not something that's subjective, that each of us will have a different appreciation for. If something is true, if something is truth, then it corresponds to a reality that is outside of your own mind. It is an objective thing. And because of that, it is universal. If something is true, it will be true for you. It will be true for Bill. It will be true for Danny. It will be true for anyone who's outside of this building. It will be true for people, whether they live here or there or anywhere. No matter who they are and what their circumstances are, if it is true, it is universally true. Okay. And because of that,